Welcome and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. This show is Alex, aka Auburn Memes. You can find me on social media at Instagram and Twitter at Auburn Memes. But anyway, let's jump into this episode and talk about the big elephant in the room. And of course, that was going to be Hugh Freeze's press conference today. And honestly, it was a fairly refreshing press conference. And I say that not necessarily because he did anything great. It was just so much better than his predecessors had been. And very much the title of the episode gives it away. There's one specific question in there which he answered that I think really is a hot topic of conversation right now, just because it is so topical from what happened, from the fan response and kind of what it says for the big picture of Auburn. And that, of course, is about him asking for patience. But before we get into that, I want to kind of talk about everything as a whole and the press conference there. And I will say what was so refreshing about this is Hugh Freeze is not a coach speak coach. He is very just open and candid with his responses and just tells things for how they are. Why that's so awesome? Well, let's just rewind back for years of Gus Malzahn. After losses in games like this, the answers always were, well, we need to watch the film. We had a good week of practice. We'll get better. You can only hear that so many more times before you just roll your eyes and say, okay. And that is kind of one of the reasons that patience started to run out with Gus Malzahn with everybody. People were sick of hearing that. Now, the coach after Gus, you'd have him get into a press conference and read out an inspirational paragraph that looked like it should be on an Instagram post with a faded black and white lion standing in front of a sunset. And then, of course, just like with everything else that happened under Brian Harsin, it sounded great. It'd get you hyped up and think, wow, they really got something going on. And then you would come to find out, oh, those are just all words over and over again. So that is kind of what we're coming from here. But most of all the moods and the feelings that everybody had talking about, and even with the episode from yesterday that we'd done here on this podcast, most of those topics were addressed by Hugh Freeze pretty openly. And that is one thing I will definitely give him credit to, is that he just tells it how it is. Somebody answers a question, he doesn't really dodge it. Somebody asks something vague, he'll get very specific and just say, this is it. And if he doesn't know something, he'll just say, you know, I don't know. We'll have to look into it. It's very refreshing. But as I said, the one question I really, really want to talk about is the one that he was asked about patience specifically, and that was, what is the realistic timeline for that patience? I want to take a quick moment and thank the show sponsor for today's episode, Opelika Rage Room. Just opened up this past summer with a location on 2nd Avenue, just outside downtown Opelika, as well as a second location in Birmingham, the Birmingham Rage Room. Rage Rooms are a great new and fun way to just maybe do something you never do. You literally get to go in there and break everything. Yes, you heard that right. Break everything. If you want to know a little bit more about what they're about, check them out on social media or go to the website at Opelika Rage Room or opelikaragerum.com. You can book a session online and just see what all of the hype is about. Once again, want to thank them for sponsoring this episode, and let's get right into it. So that's what we're going to jump into on this episode. I'm going to be rocking it solo today. We've got a few more technological things to get set up to get the show guests on here. So in the meantime, let's go right into it. So the first thing that I kind of noticed with this is it seemed like just a little bit, Hugh Freeze made a distinction in this that there were two factions of patients that he was dealing with. Kind of used the words in this building, and then he kind of alluded to the fans. Now, obviously, in the building, it's going to be the administration, the people he answers to. And it sounds like maybe, just maybe, they were a little more level-headed about things than maybe some of the fans were. He said and kind of hinted at, in other words, that maybe some of the expectations and the narratives that were out there and were maybe a little unrealistic. And I'm going to paraphrase it all here. These were not his words, but maybe just a little unfair to everybody as a whole to expect the team to be, it was unrealistic might be a little bit better word than unfair, but some heads may have been in the clouds from a fan standpoint to be thinking that this team, 9 wins, maybe even talk them in to 10-2. Now, obviously, they've only lost one game thus far, so by technicality, that is possible, just probably not likely. And I think that was a reality check for a lot of people. As I mentioned, the honeymoon phase it's kind of coming to an end. I think a lot of people were just so excited with the momentum of how everything was going in the offseason, just seeing effort in recruiting, big name players coming to the university, transfers coming, just actual roster management, just things that had really, for the most part, not been seen in quite some time. So it was natural that people were going to get excited. But then, this is where the reality has to set in a little bit as to what's going on. It seemed that folks were getting very emotional with their post after this game. A lot of people were on the internet and on their feels, and they had a keyboard, and they really held nothing back, and probably said some things that were, like I said, maybe a little bit more on the emotional frustration side. Maybe it would have been better to sleep those thoughts off and then come up the next day and say, all right, how are we really feeling now? As I've said, I don't think that the sky is falling necessarily, but I think people have to understand what the big picture is and also what the reality is of things right now. This team has some deficiencies. I think some are what the staff always knew they were going to be. I think there are some that they were not expecting to have, and of course they're dealing with some injuries at some key positions. Now, I think the big question here is how much of these are going to be reasonably fixable within the season, and how much just are going to be what they are. So that is what folks who are just watching and consuming have to really process here. And you heard it from him. Hugh Freeze has said on and off, this is going to take some time to actually build up the right way. There's things he is changing that aren't necessarily in his comfort zone. And he even alluded that to the next question in this interview when asking about the play calling. Didn't get too much into it, but you could definitely tell that it was something he's struggling with right now. That's always been his thing. And he said this was the first year he's truly given it up. Now, rewinding back to another pain point for Auburn folks in years past was juggling that same exact issue with Gus Malzahn through his tenure at Auburn, going back and forth from playing or going back and forth from calling and not calling plays. But what he did with the roster is nearly almost half the team is completely new. And I think a lot of people see those flips and just think, oh, you know, it's it. And you kind of talk yourself into every single portal guy as being like the guy in the evaluation, in the plug and play, the experience, look at their film. And that is the case in some. And then and sometimes they don't always live up to the hype. And it's just guys that kind of get you through the season. You got to look back and say, well, that was a good addition to the team, but that's not really the long-term fix and really may not even been the best short-term option. But it's what we had to do with what we were giving. Need to say this. Hugh Freeze inherited a bad roster situation from Gus Malzahn that got made immensely worse from Brian Harsin. So that is not necessarily an overnight fix. Now, the portal does help, but the portal is not just a miracle elixir that can just snap, poof, and it's done. Some teams, some years might get lucky, and that might happen. They might get some of those guys, but that is so much more rare than the process having to actually be done how it's supposed to be done. In the tried and true way, sticking within the blue chip ratio, getting the high school guys in, high-level talented high school guys, and developing them and growing them and retaining them on the roster. The portal can help fix lapses in the roster a lot better than it had in previous years. But as we say, the portal will giveth and it will take away. So that's another thing that has to happen. We're going to get into later is how to manage that side of it. But there is a roster rebuild right here. This isn't a miracle year. This isn't a team of destiny. This is truly a, we've got to build this thing from the ground up and there's going to be growing pains with that. And once again, let's go back to that word, patience. Hugh Freeze understands that. And it sounds like the people within the program, the word alignment gets talked around a lot. They understand that too. Hugh Freeze said he can't necessarily control how the fans feel. He can't control their patient level, and he can't be worrying about it either. And he says he cares about it. He wants the best. But if Hugh Freeze sits here and he's rattled by how people are feeling on the internet, on message boards, on social media, wherever they are venting these current frustrations, that's nothing but a distraction for him, and it's also a distraction for the players. And unfortunately, this stuff does kind of bleed over to them. So it's just another thing that they've got to kind of keep out of their psyche so they can actually focus on what matters. There's two different examples I want to give here. One of which is going to be of patience with a new coach. One of which, very topical right now, is Mike Norvell of Florida State. Started absolutely awful when he got there. Didn't have a much better showing in his second year. A lot of people, myself included, writing him off, especially after the humiliation of losing Travis Hunter to Deion, who's at Jackson State. It seemed like that was just going to be a complete bust, and Florida State was going to go in the gutter, and everybody was just going to laugh at him until they potentially inevitably hired Deion, so people thought. Well, obviously, look what's going on this year. Florida State has turned that around. There was patience there, despite potentially resting the finger on the trigger to fire Mike Norvell. Folks who mattered trusted in the process, let him do what he needed to do to get that program back from where it was. And now it seems to be the results are going in the right direction, and they're still doing well with recruiting momentum, even though Auburn did get Falk from them. And another example of that is sometimes where patience doesn't pay off. Just being objective here, hitting those sides. Scott Frost at Nebraska. And I was thinking about it, and there's some interesting similarities between Scott Frost at Nebraska and what could have been with Brian Harsin at Auburn, minus the alumni part, but just the fact of the programs they came from, the schools they went to. And then I think that, and even just kind of the demeanor between the two, but I think had you kept Brian Harsin long term, probably would have had a similar ending there. Scott Frost was given some time. Just didn't work out for him. I do say that as saying that, you know, patience is great and it can pay off, but sometimes it doesn't. We can't just pretend it is what it isn't. So jumping into this part of it, why would fans, and I guess you can even say the brass as well, run out of patience? Well, he mentioned we can't be moving backwards. And I mentioned even on the last episode, the A&M game, there was a lot of backwards that was being moved there, minus the defensive side, which you could argue there's some forward, especially on the defensive line side. If that continues to happen throughout the season where you feel like, and I even kind of saw some of this last year, and this is an example I'd given at one point, where you patch one hole up and you say, hey, we're doing so much better here, then another one bursts. You patch that one, the next thing you know, another hole burst, and you patch that one, and so on. That can't happen either. It has to be consistency across the board. Hey, we got one group that's playing well. They stay playing well. Oh, this group may have had an injury hiccups. Player A and B are back. Wow, they're back to firing all cylinders. That sort of momentum. Oh, we had a younger guy who was struggling, but wow, the difference between the beginning of the season, the end of the season with this guy or this group, lights out. Oh, surprise player came out of nowhere. Eugene Asante. Can't say enough good things about him right now and his energy. And that's the sort of stuff we want to happen. But if things seem to start, as we said, moving backwards, there goes that patience. If that scenario I just said right there doesn't happen, not good. And the thing is you can have both of these scenarios happen with the exact same record and feel completely different ways about it. And that's the key thing here is this is so much bigger than just record. It's momentum. Another thing of why people might run out of patience is you start losing key players to the portal. Not going to mention names because they're not in the portal right now. It's not transfer season. So just think of a person or player on the team that's a key player on either side of the ball, someone's developing the right direction, or someone you think has a lot of potential. Imagine them going to the portal and being sad about it. That would also run people's patience thin. And that's probably going to be a reality of the sport moving forward. So what do the coaches do at all schools to retain it? Well, that's going to be kind of a new battle. They're constantly recruiting a team of essentially, for the most part, free agents. There's no contracts. There's nothing binding them to stay, especially with the free transfer rule. I mean, unless you get another transfer and graduate, that's really about the most secure guy you got on the team. And then the old-fashioned losing recruiting battles. And that is one of the things that really was one of Gus's Achilles heels, especially the offensive line. It wasn't like they didn't have. A lot of people say the narrative, oh, they just didn't recruit offensive linemen. They were recruiting offensive linemen. They'd get to a top four, a top five, a top two, even a top three, top two, and just they'd pick the other guy. And next thing you know, that just happened so many different times. They just weren't getting guys in the class. Or if they were, it was the nth number option, and they just weren't panning out to be the talent level that this team needed to succeed and play at a high level in the SEC. And not only losing recruiting battles, but specifically if you're losing local recruiting battles, in-state or division rivals, those sort of things just sting a little bit extra. Or if you, God forbid, lose one to a program that is not in the same level, then also that's not a good feeling either. So it's just, it can be bigger than just the generic, oh, Auburn didn't land that guy. There can be some extra little flavors that make those sting a little bit more. And once again, winds the patience down. And then another thing there is you're going to be losing key staff members. This one can't control as much, but when you have folks on the staff that are strong, that are solid, and that are great coaches, and in this case for Auburn, the alumni, coaches that fans have really grown to be attached to, and then players as well. And it's a double-edged sword because a lot of those guys are leaving for better opportunities, and you do wish them the best. But to say that there's not some emotional side and folks can get irrational about that, well, that can happen as well. So the other side of that, what can they do to, what keeps people, what kind of bides you, gets you some extra patience there? What are things that this staff and this team and the program can do to keep that? Well, a lot of these are going to be kind of the opposite things of what were just being said, but from a mental standpoint, for those on the outside looking in, understand what it takes to build it the right way. And I hate to use a cliche here because no duh, but that's going to be time. It's not going to be an overnight type thing. And unfortunately, people were spoiled with Gus and the team of destiny. These flash-in-the-pan years, you go to a national championship. I mean, you're in national championship twice in three seasons, but cannot build anything on that. That is a blessing a lot of programs dream of having, and Auburn had it twice in such a short period of time, and really just kind of let that fizzle away. We'll dive on that in a later episode when we need some topics in the offseason. That will still grind my gears when I think about it. But understanding getting to the, winning the race doesn't always mean that you've got the supplies to build a powerhouse. They're not always the same. And those key fundamental things that were needed were not there. And then with the recruiting, I mean, it's obviously with recruiting, but it's so much more than just stars. And I think there's a lot of folks that just get so caught up in that star ranking and how they rank versus other classes, but it's evaluation. And how Auburn got to where they are right now, really toward the end of Gus's tenure, especially on the offensive side, the evaluation just wasn't good. Another thing that can be a deep dive in an offseason episode, but you can really go look back at some of these classes and look at some of these players and like, wow, these were guys that were like marquee gets at the time. They never touched the field. And you take that, you count up some of those guys, you take them away and you look at that class, oh man. This class is really propped up. The top 10 classes in Amazon were propped up under guys that fundamentally just ranked high, but they didn't do anything for the program. Mostly because that evaluation just wasn't good, or guys that ended up panning out and would kind of get on the field just maybe weren't as good as you originally thought they were. And if you have too many of those, well, you start having cracks in the foundation of classes and teams and position groups that are supposed to build upon each other for not only just having a good starting roster, but depth. And that was not always the case. There'd be some strengths here with just some weaknesses over there. And if things are not in balance, you're not going to have a team that constantly competes at a high level all the time. And that was most definitely what was being seen toward the end of Gus's tenure. So evaluation is very important. And I will say this, that was something Gus struggled with, and I'll give some props here. It seems to be, and we will know a lot more as the season progresses, for the one full class Brian Harsin did get, looks like there's some guys in that class that actually turned out to be pretty good players. Jay Fair is one of them. That was not a guy that anybody thought would be lighting it up. They saw something in him. Now, this is not to say, wow, Brian Harsin, if he had more time, he was getting, it seems to be, some well-evaluated players, but the problem is, he didn't get enough of them. So the trick here that fans can't fall for is really getting baited into thinking these feel-good moments are building something toward the future. And what I mean by that is Going almost undefeated to a national championship, having these really highly rated recruiting classes, big wins over your rivals. But the issue was, is all those things are great, but the issue is none of them actually were building toward a sustaining program that was getting better and better year after year. It was a big up, then it'd go with a big down, a big up, and a big down, and wasn't building toward anything, and really overall was going in a downward direction as a whole. Now, the big difference between Gus and Brian Harsin is Brian Harsin just didn't do any of that. There was no sustenance or feel-good moments to even make you think that. So that was the difference there. But the thing is in those moments, you feel good, but it's not building toward anything. So fans from the outside never actually knew what it takes to actually build it the right way. And that's where fans right now are at. And then Hugh is dealing with a little bit of that from his perspective, because people want the big flashy wins. They want the big flashy stud player. And if that doesn't come, you just sit there pounding, thinking, the sky's falling. There's just no hope anymore. And that's where I just want to challenge everybody here to say, there can absolutely still be hope without the flash in the pan. Because a flash in a pan versus a foundation made of bricks, which one's more fun to look at? A guy laying bricks or fireworks in a pan? And that is kind of where Auburn had been, but where Auburn has to go to build for a more sustainable future. And that's kind of called growing pains. And that's not easy. And no one really wants to wait on that. So I can definitely understand where the struggle is. And I'm sure the staff is very well aware of that. And it's a lot easier to go through those growing pains when there are some bigger wins that are coming down the pipeline. But if those wins aren't necessarily there, but everything else is coming along that needs to build that foundation, inevitably will come. It just won't be as fast and as fun as people want it to be, but it can still be there. And it all brings us to roster management side of it. That's so important. And as inversely I mentioned in the previous part, is retaining talent. Keeping guys on the team that are on the team. Winning those recruiting battles. Getting a few on your rivals. Getting a few guys that, it's a long stretched out recruitment. You're in the top five, then you're three, then the two, and then that guy's throwing that hat on. Get that momentum going. Keep the key staff members. Once again, this is one that you do wish them the best to move on, but it is seen that a lot of these programs that do very well, they do keep a lot of those guys for a few years, which does help build that consistency in the program. And then if they do end up leaving, they go to greener pastures, which is usually good because, hey, if the team's doing good, well, other teams are going to want your support staff. That'll happen. Hire the next guy. You got to evaluate the staff just like you got to evaluate the players. And then keep hope strong. And hope, and the feeling of hope, is so arbitrary because it's not like there's a category on a stat sheet that's like, all right, and hope. It's just doing the little things, keeping the PR strong, being the cheerleader, hyping people up throughout the entirety of the thing. And this is what they've done a great job in the offseason. Is there certain ways you can do things, and there's certain ways you can like hype things up. And I love Hugh Freeze even used the word. Now, granted, it was talking about the offensive side of things, but swagger. There's ways that you can just operate your program with a little bit of swagger that excites people. I think Hugh Freeze understands that. So doing those things will do a lot to keep people patient. The complete opposite of what Brian Harsin did. He had some patience and some goodwill built up. Very little, but after everything happened last February, there was a little push for him. And the things he could have done to just, stretch that little pile of patience he'd gotten, almost a little pity sympathy pile after everything that happened, he just let that just blow away in the wind. And there were so many different things that staff could have done to just stretch that. Now, would it probably change the end result for him? No. But it fundamentally just went to the fact that they just didn't care about that. That was not on their radar as anything that was important whatsoever. And then naturally, what was the end result for him there? Hugh Freeze has said it from the very beginning. He has a much better grasp on that. But a lot of these things that have been forementioned so far, these have been big picture things. Well, in the short term, what is right here in front of this team is a very tough game. Very, very tough game with Georgia, and right after that, LSU. And it doesn't look like Ole Miss may necessarily be a pushover a few weeks after that either. So this is going to be one of those things where Auburn is not going to be favored to win these games. And Hugh Freeze even mentioned that in the press conference today, that every job he's ever had, he's looked at his teams and said, this is a one-year favor to win, this is a toss-up, and this is one that you're not projected to win. Obviously, go out there and defy the odds. Obviously, go out there and don't lay an egg. And he'd even for mentioned, Liberty wasn't supposed to beat Arkansas. Ole Miss wasn't supposed to beat Alabama. He's done it before. And he obviously coaches that to the players, but he's not going to sell them something that's not true. So if he's telling it to the team, I think it's completely okay to say it on this show. These are games that are not very, very unlikely not going to be victories for Auburn. But what has to happen to continue the momentum going forward in the short term is take these issues that have been going on and make it look like there's a coaching effort to make them better. As I said earlier, the record is completely irrelevant versus momentum. You can have a better record and less momentum than one that's slightly worse with things going and pivoting in the right direction. Hey, look competitive that game. Oh, there was a struggling deal. That is better now. The coaching side of things. Because at the end of the day, like, Hugh Freeze and staff, they're not the ones out there hiking and throwing the ball. But they are coming up with the scheme and the game plan. So when you notice that those things are getting in the right direction, well, you feel better about it. I hate it, but I don't. Looking back at with Ryan Harsin to compare what didn't get changed, well, when they're running a lot of 12 personnel, even with Robbie Ashford, it just wasn't working. Their play calling and their scheme was awful. And I mean, somehow, some way, Missouri beat them multiple times in the ringer and just said, oh, actually, just kidding, we're going to drop the ball. We're going to miss a little chip-in shot where I believe their same kicker that missed that little chip-in field goal kick last year made a 62-yarder to ice it. Insane that game didn't happen. But that staff did not do anything to try to put that away and just stuck with their laurels. Well, if it's not working, you have to change. Some coaches do that, some don't. And this is Hugh Freeze's chance to show that he can do it. But also, and it sounded pretty strongly that he is going to be doing that. I mean, that's was the takeaway from that press conference. But what he's saying in that whole part of be patient, and what that means to be patient, is even with those changes that they're going to be working on, the things that they got to do, maybe that's not necessarily going to result in some wins. The losses could still potentially be ugly from a score standpoint. But if the big picture still remains the same, there is most definitely optimism, and there's no reason to not keep staying the course. Even when you have to grit your teeth and deal with some of the emotional rough patches of those losses, it does take time, and it was even for mention there with Georgia. And that was something that was in that press conference, Kirby Smart and that turnaround. But it's also worth noting perspective for all these things, because people look at, oh, well, look how quickly Kirby Smart did that. Yeah, but he inherited multiple 10-win teams. Mark Richt did not leave him with a dumpster fire. You could most definitely say that between Gus Malzahn and Brian Harsin, Auburn had a little bit of a dumpster fire going on in more ways than one. Not with just a personnel standpoint, but just morale and short patience and everything. And that's the other thing that Hugh Freeze has got going up against him is folks around here, they're a little jaded with a lot of these things, and there's not a lot of the patience there. So you're already dealing with a really short fuse to begin with, and you do one little thing that's a trigger point that had been happening for multiple coaches prior, definitely stings a little bit more. And that was kind of what happened there. But I think there is an awareness that Hugh Freeze has. And he's never promised the road's not going to be bumpy to get there. And he even said the wins will come. So if Auburn fans can believe that and have the patience of understanding the process to get there, you heard it straight from them. They're coming. That's all we've got for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Auburn Daily Podcast. Of course, check out the Auburn Daily on YouTube as well as Twitter at the Auburn Daily. This is your host, Auburn Memes, and we're going to conclude it for now. Tune in for the next episode. Everybody, thanks for listening.